God has made a covenant with Israel. You'll recall that He promised to be their God if they would be His people. He told them very clearly what He expected of them. So clear, in fact, they were written down as He gave Moses the Ten Commandments upon Mount Sinai. But, as you know, a covenant can be broken if one or even both parties do not do what they say they're going to do. But the Bible makes it very clear that God makes promises and God keeps His promises. Well, there is a time in which the Israelites did break their covenant. You can remember literally in Exodus chapter 32, there as Moses was receiving those commandments that the children of Israel were making unto themselves a golden calf. And when Moses began to go down the mountain and see what they were doing, he was so angry that he threw the commandments down. He broke them literally, but you see, in another way, they were already breaking the covenant. God clearly said that thou shalt have no other gods before Him. And they were making unto themselves a graven image. They were doing something that God said not to do. But thankfully, God is a loving God. God is a God of second chances. And He even would make a second covenant. Look with me in the book of Jeremiah. Here in chapter 31, Jeremiah begins to prophesy about that second covenant. In Jeremiah chapter 31, here begin verse 31, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Generation after generation, people have been told who the Lord is and what He has done. Just imagine what it would be like to be with Him as He said to leave the land of Egypt, seeing the 10 plagues that God has caused, to see the waters part and walk on dry land. And then you would begin to see other things take place. You would hear people talking and understanding more about who God is. The Bible tells us that we must behold the goodness and severity of God. God has taken severity on many that did not obey Him. But yet He always shows His goodness. He shows us that He truly cares about us. And if we were to take a closer look at the first covenant, you'll recall that the priests had to offer a sacrifice year after year to remember the sins that had been committed. But yet, we're told there would come a time in which God would no longer remember sins. There would be one sacrifice that would be made, and not ever have to be made again. that could only be through God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, in whom was no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. And because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of him, it is through him that we can get to God. And today, we have God's new covenant even with us. In the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, there in chapter 8, the writer of the book of Hebrews reminds us of the first covenant, but also reminds us that there is a new covenant. In Hebrews chapter 8 and in verse 7, he says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Because finding fault with them, he says, 'Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.'" And that he says, "A new covenant is made the first obsolete." Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. When we look at the old covenant and the promises thereof, and then look ahead to the new covenant, we find there perhaps are some similarities, but yet there are some great differences. And by a better understanding of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, who offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, we're ready for newer. We're ready for the better promises. Because it is through Christ that we can have eternal life. It is through Christ in which we can have the redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. And we learn about Christ through studying of his word. Those like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude, those that were with him, those that saw the things that he could do with their own eyes, those that heard with their own ears the things that he taught. And as they had written down the things that we can read and study today, we could be very familiar with God's law. By studying the Word of God, we can keep it in our minds. We can have it close to our hearts. We, like the psalmist said, can meditate upon it day and night. And if we keep the covenant, if we, as John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we can have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will continue to cleanse us from all sin. God is keeping his part of the covenant, and he expects you and I to keep ours. And so tonight we must ask ourselves, am I keeping the covenant of God? Can I therefore receive the promise that God has made for me? Tonight, we're about to sing the song of encouragement. If there be one here that needs to respond to that invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?